KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
As we do every week, the weekly meeting of certified alpha males is officially underway. Jam-packed program for you. We've got some funny items. We've got some sad items. We've got some serious items. But the good news is your global alpha male-in-chief and global five-star ready to take command today from, appropriately, Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City. 2 hours of alpha male pleasure maneuvers. Wherever you may be, grab a cigar, grab a libation. Grab your dame or your harem, should you choose to. Politely, of course. Politely. We don't want any hashtag MeToo moments. Turn on your grill, fire it up, throw on a steak. Let's get the party started. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the pleasure police. Screw the speech police. Let us just enjoy our cigars and our alpha male pleasures in peace for a change. As always, I invite you to follow me on social media. Go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Twitter is my preference. At CigarDaveShow is the handle. All right, first up, sexiest accent in the United States of America. I happened to see this yesterday. Sergeant Steve, would you like to take a guess as to what the sexiest accent in the United States is? According to a survey, a travel company called Big Seven, their survey of 1.5 million social media followers, they rank the top 50 accents. Any guess on number one?
I'll say a southern accent.
Close. Very close. I would say Texas Southwestern. That would qualify. Texas is the number one accent. How you doing, y'all? Welcome to Texas. I'll tell you, the one thing I love about Texas dames, they've got a great accent. Big hair, big boobs. As they, my fellow Texan female friends say, bigger the hair, closer to God. So, love the Texas. And you know what? They're so friendly. You go into any of the department stores. Well, hello there, darling. How can I help you? Oh, you're looking for a shirt or some trousers? Follow me, dear. They are very, very friendly. They are very, in fact, that's, I just received a text right now from a Texas dame that said, I'm listening to you right now, General. I agree. Get on an airplane and get over here. I got the Texas harem rounded up, lassoed, ready to go. All right. What do you think number two and number three? You will never guess number two and number three. Guaranteed.
Number two would be, let's say, Midwest.
I would say South. That would be, I would say Texas number one, then the South. You know, Georgia, Alabama. Hi, y'all. Wrong. Boston. Park the car in the yard. To me, there is nothing sexy about a Boston accent. Nothing. Women with Boston accents don't do a thing for me. Do not do a thing. By the way, I saw the movie a couple of nights ago, Get Hard. Remember that with Will Ferrell?
Oh, gosh, I forgot that movie. Yeah.
Hysterical. Saw the movie. I'd seen that. Funny as hell when I saw it. I think it's been out, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Saw it again. So that kind of reminded me. When I hear a female Boston accent, it's like it's the opposite of the movie. It does not get me hard. Boston is number two. How about number three? Again, be shocked if you guess correctly.
Well, if you're going to say I'm going to be shocked, I'm going to go something like Philly.
Close. New York. New York. Now, I've got to tell you, women with New York, Jersey accents, don't do it for me. Women with Boston accents, don't do it. Texas, Southeast, absolutely. Here's some of the other accents. Number four, Maine. We're going to Maine, have a lobster. That's kind of like a Boston accent. Number five is Chicago. Hi, welcome to Chicago.
Oh, there's the Midwest. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of Midwest. Six is Mississippi. By the way, congratulations to Mississippi. They have moved ahead of Alabama on the education rankings. Mississippi has now gone from number 50 to number 49. So congratulations to Mississippi. But Mississippi, now, to me, Mississippi is kind of generic Southern. They're all the same. Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi. Seventh is Hawaii. I'm not sure I know. I kind of know what a Hawaiian accent. Eighth is Philly. Ninth is St. Louis. St. Louis is a very generic accent. Ten is California. The bottom of the list, the last five, Southern Ohioan. Now, Sergeant Steve, you're from Ohio. So, Cincinnati, that's Southern Ohioan.
Yeah, that is.
But I'm not sure. Cincinnati accents are kind of generic.
I mean, they say Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I don't think it's a heavy accent or anything.
It's not. It's not. California Valley, the San Fernando Valley, Valley girl, like, awesome dude.
Mm-hmm.
Number 47 is Alaska. I guess they all, the accent in Sarah
Palin. Sarah Palin, yeah.
I can see Russia from my window. 48, this surprises me. Minnesota. Oh, yeah. You betcha. In Fargo, we're going to Minnesota. I'm going to Duluth and St. Paul. Oh, you betcha it's cold. Then we're going to go to the Cheese Castle. So Minnesota, kind of close to a Wisconsin accent. Number 49 is New Jersey, and 50 is Long Islander. But I have to tell you, to me, number one, Texas. Number two, the Southeast. Number three, four, and five are the Southeast. Those are the sexiest accents, period. You get the hot Southern belles, the Southern dames, or the Texas dames in the harem, all is well. So I have to disagree with that. Did not see Detroit, Buffalo in those rankings. Very hard accent. Being from Buffalo, hi, how are you, John? A very hard A type of accent. Now, North America, they did not have any Canadian, eh? Okay, we're going to the fast lane, eh? Then we're going to get some crullers and donuts and coffee, eh?
That's the Molson,
so Canada, eh? Canada? Yeah, exactly. You know, the organization, eh? So Canada, there's some hot Canadian dames that have some nice accents. They're all set. All right, two booze-related items. We talked about tequila for a Cinco de Mayo show. Good news for those of you that are tequila fans that would like to sleep at the world's only hotel in a tequila factory. It is called the Mates Hotel de Barricas, which is located in the town appropriately of Tequila, Mexico. The hotel claims to be the world's first to be located within a tequila factory. But here is what is interesting. You sleep in giant tequila barrels at the Matices Hotel de Barracas. Can you imagine Mick the Brit? I mean, Mick the Brit loves to swim in his booze, in his Guinness, in his vodka, in his whiskey, in his gin. Can you imagine the excitement Mick the Brit would have sleeping in a tequila barrel? No word, however, if there's actually tequila in that barrel that you sleep in. So, interesting on that. Now, this is another interesting story involving some booze. An American Airlines flight attendant, a sky waitress, showed up for work reeking of booze. 64-year-old flight attendant, I will not bring up her name, even though it's been publicly reported. But definitely looks like she should probably have retired a little bit, looking a little bit haggard. She appeared intoxicated when she was stopped by security at London's Heathrow Airport before her flight back to her Dallas, Texas base. The security officer initially told the flight attendant to step aside because her bag was rejected during X-ray screening, but they could smell a strong hint of alcohol on her breath. They brought some more police officers there. The toxicology report found she was more than four times the legal limit allowed in the UK for flight crews. She was ordered to pay $1,200 in fines and lawyer's fees. Now, there is a subplot to this story. If this woman was four times the legal limit showing up for her flight back to Dallas, working the flight back on American Airlines, there's only one possible explanation. Sergeant Steve, do you know what it is?
She was out with Mick the Brit.
Correct. Out with Mick the Brit drinking all night. There's fueling up. As General, I was fueling up for the return flight back. There's no doubt in my mind, if she was four times the legal limit, she was fueling up with Mick the Brit all night. And if she was four times the legal limit, Mick the Brit probably 12 to 14 times the legal limit.
No, well, and as short as he is and small as he is.
Mick is compact. Well, we can't say short. Mick is compact sized.
Vertically challenged.
Get the man a phone book so we can see him when we're at the live shows. We have to get him a high chair because otherwise we can't see Mick the Brit. So interesting. The poor dame was out with Mick the Brit. And you know what? This looks like Mick the Brit's type too. I mean, she's a little zoftig, a little haggard, a little on the older side. You know, this would be perfect for Mick the Brit. No ifs, ands, or buts. Interesting story I want to relate to you. And I've always talked about the PC police. We now have OSS, Offensive Speech Syndrome. Now, all of a sudden, on college campuses, if somebody doesn't like the subject matter, somebody disagrees, if you're a supporter of a certain candidate or a certain position, and a college student feels triggered, microaggressed, they need a safe space, they can't simply say, okay, we have somebody with a divergent opinion than we do. No problem. We can debate. We can discuss it. Nope. Now we have to remove them from campus. They have to be shunned, can't appear anywhere on campus. They have to be fired. Get rid of them. This happened to me on a personal level this week. I happened to be over at the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge. There were several people from the Davidoff corporate offices that I happened to see. I visited Tommy Diadio, the general manager of the Tampa Davidoff Store and Lounge for Corona Cigars, and the executive senior executive VP of Spirit Procurement for Corona Cigars in the Davidoff Store and Lounge in Tampa. So we were chit-chatting about a couple of potential show ideas in terms of spirits. And as I'm about to leave with Pendragon's Royal Baron, Puppy Baron, who comes with me, accompanies me, I see a gentleman, maybe in his, looked like he was late 20s, early 30s, and he said, "Cigar Dave, how are you? Looking good." I said, "Oh, thank you." He's like, he goes, "Used to listen to your show all the time." And my reply was, "Used to? What do you mean used to listen to my show all the time? You should be listening to my show all the time. Mandatory." And as you all know, those of you that are alphas that are listening, you know I provide exceptional advice on a multitude of topics, whether it is pleasure, whether it is life, whether it is politics, dames. I'm a cornucopia of vast knowledge. So I said, "What do you mean you used to listen to me?" He said, "Well, General, you support Donald Trump, and I don't like Donald Trump, so I don't listen anymore." I replied, "Let me get this straight. I support Donald Trump, therefore you will not listen to the show. Before I supported Donald Trump, what did you like about the show?" "Oh, I love you talked about cigars and spirits and the alpha male lifestyle, take on the enemies of pleasure. So you do not listen because I support Donald Trump." "Correct." I said, "Okay, so may I assume you supported Hillary Clinton?" He said, "No, I supported Gary Johnson." At which point I said, "Wow, the first Gary Johnson supporter I've ever met in person." He had a chuckle out of that. And I then followed, I said, "Well, do I talk about Donald Trump incessantly or too much on the show?" He said, no, just the fact that you support and like Donald Trump. Now, this is very interesting. This is the same thing that is happening now on college campuses. The same thing that is happening at various work environments, where if somebody has a divergent opinion from you, and when I talk about you, I'm talking about primarily the left-leaning Dems or Libs, socialists, the Clinton supporters, the Bernie Sanders. Primarily, we're seeing people that have a more liberal view, the progressives, if you will. And we're seeing this now across the country. And I believe this stems from the millennial, Gen Z entitlement syndrome. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody participates. Everybody's told they're great, they're wonderful. And they start to believe that everything that they think, they believe, they say is right, is correct. They've never been challenged on any of their opinions. They've never been challenged on a debate. And so consequently, when somebody that you disagree with, you want to engage in debate, and I am more than happy to engage in those that I disagree with in a debate, anytime, any place, anywhere. My debating skills, I happen to think, are exceptional. Doesn't necessarily mean that I may always be correct, but I believe that if I'm taking a stand, that I base my debate on fact. Always on fact. Never on hearsay, never on what I think, based on fact. So if somebody tells me we're going to engage in a debate, and he says to me, we're going to debate the weather. I say that it is cloudy outside today. Well, if I look outside and I see, as I am right now, that we've got blue skies, my reply is, I'm happy to debate you. And the fact is that I can prove empirical evidence there is no clouds. It is blue skies. So when you have the evidence, when you have the facts on your side, no problem. You can beat pretty much anybody in a debate as long as you have proper skills and can make coherent statements and sentences and arguments. You have to be able to piece together your arguments. It's like a puzzle. You have to be able to get from point A to point B in a rational manner. No problem. Can do it all the time, can do it all day. I enjoy doing it. But we are seeing now huge numbers of kids, millennials, Gen Zs, whatever other generation you want to bring up on college campuses, that are, number one, brainwashed from the time they're in grade school and high school and college from these professors, that all of a sudden, if somebody disagrees, you have a divergent viewpoint, then all of a sudden, number one, they're the enemy. Number two, they shouldn't even be allowed to speak on campus because they're offended and they're triggered. And number three, the administration, by allowing somebody to speak on campus, even though we have free speech as guaranteed under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the American Constitution, therefore, if a school or a business allows somebody to engage in a debate or speak with a divergent viewpoint of the kids that are on campus, all of a sudden the school and the administrators are sanctioning hate, sanctioning evil talk. Nothing could be further than the truth. And I've stated this many times on this show. When I was a student at Syracuse University, Jesse Jackson came to speak on campus at Hendricks Chapel. There's maybe 1,200 tickets distributed. I got tickets. There was about 5-6 of us from my dorm floor. We went. Half of us thought Jesse Jackson was great. Half of us did not. Everybody there, whether you agreed or disagreed, was polite. We listened to what Jesse Jackson had to say. When we disagreed, nobody booed. Nobody was rude from the audience. Nobody heckled him. When he said things that people liked, people applauded. Even when he said things that some people didn't agree with, there was some tepid applause from a few of his ultra-extreme supporters. But at the end of the day, everybody left. You heard what he had to speak. Just as the same thing took place when there were conservatives or Republicans or, you know, diehard ultra-liberals that were on campus. People went, we listened, and then my fellow classmates and I and dorm mates, we went and had a few beers, got some wings over at the varsity, and we proceeded to debate about the speech. We didn't yell at each other. We didn't berate each other. We were polite. We used rational, intelligent argument. Going out the wayside today. Gone. Here's a perfect example. 7 days after urging the crew of the aircraft carrier Harry S. Truman, very fine president, the Command Master Chief Jonas Doyle Carter stepped down from his post. Why? Because he asked the crew members aboard the Harry S. Truman, the aircraft carrier Harry S. Truman, to clap like we're at a strip club. Now, that's a joke. That is humorous. That's funny. Hey, I want everybody to clap. We're going to welcome the vice president. Clap like you're at a strip club. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. In the wake of that strip club quip, Lieutenant Commander Laura Steger, the Truman spokeswoman, called Carter's words inappropriate and said the issue was being addressed by Truman's leadership. And following a brief Tuesday announcement by Pentagon officials that Carter had resigned and was pursuing retirement, Truman's official Facebook page published prepared statements from both Carter, the senior enlisted sailor, and his skipper, Captain Nick Deanna. Now, I have to tell you this. We are going to ruin a Master Chief's career over one innocuous comment? Clap like we're at a strip club? Are the members of the U.S. Armed Forces, the senior leadership, are they a bunch of giant pussycats now? Meow, meow? Are they that offended? I'm sorry, if a woman said, hey, look, you know, that's kind of offensive. Well, you're in the Army. It's a joke. You know what? Tell the ladies, clap like you're at Neiman Marcus. Clap like there's a 40% off sale at Saks. Clap like you're getting free products at Sephora. And then, of course, the ladies would have been, oh, that's great. I love that. Yes, we're going to clap. This is how pathetic this country has become. Everybody is too sensitive. Everybody is offended. It is absurd. And I've got more stories. When I come back, I'm going to spend time on this. Williams College students demand censorship on campus because free speech harms. Huh? George Washington High School in the People's Republic of California considers removing George Washington murals. Why? Because students are traumatized. Jay Johnson, former Department of Homeland Security Secretary under President Obama, withdrew as commencement speaker for USC and California Law School. Why? Because students had a problem with his administration policy. Give me a break. Let us grow a set in this nation.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection this month is a Perdomo Habano Reserve Bourbon Barrel Aged Vertical Sampler, including the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged Connecticut. This medium-bodied Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper offers a rich, creamy smoke with a buttery, smooth finish. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Tradition traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Mark, you know what I've been craving lately? Chinese food.
Abby, I have the perfect solution. Sailing Boat Restaurant has partnered with Haven Humane Society for Second Tuesday Dining.
That's great. So I can get my Chinese food fix and help out animals in need at the same time? Sailing Boat Restaurant always satisfies my cravings with their amazing food.
Please join us Tuesday, June 11th at Sailing Boat Restaurant from 5 to 9 p.m. They have graciously agreed to donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work towards placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
The general has just illuminated the No Pleasure Police sign. Enemies of pleasure may now return to their miserable lives.
Well, I want to continue talking about the OSS, Offensive Speech Syndrome. Everybody is offended now. This country has become a giant, NADless, wussified group of oversensitive wimps. Again, the Master Chief of the aircraft carrier Harry S. Truman, before a visit of Vice President Mike Pence, tells the crew, clap like we're at a strip club. What happens? Oh, that's offensive. We're going to strip him. He's going to retire after a long career over one innocuous statement. Williams College students demand censorship on campus because, get this, free speech harms. Now, instead of college administration saying, We believe in free speech. If you have a problem with free speech, grow a set. Grow up. But we're not going to change our free speech policies. Liberals, conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, socialists, communists, you want to speak on campus? Fine. We're a forum for ideas. You can agree, you can disagree, but we allow a free flow of ideas that is protected under the United States Constitution. So now Williams College is planning to review and revise its policy due to student outrage over a faculty petition to adopt principles in favor of free speech on campus. So think about this. The faculty is saying, we want free speech, but the student's saying, no, we can't have that. Words could be violent. Student protesters at Williams College claiming that free speech harms minorities and therefore must be curtailed. How on earth does free speech harm minorities? Now, there's a big difference between hateful derogatory speech and free speech. I don't think the college advocates some nutcase coming on saying, hey, let's kill all minorities and let's not provide equal rights to minorities. That's not what we are talking about here. But if somebody says, look, I don't believe in quotas. I don't believe that, just like what's going on with the SATs, now they want to have some sort of score where if you come from a difficult background, a socioeconomic background, they're going to give you more points. I debate that all day on college campuses. Now all of a sudden, oh, that's going to be offensive to minorities. This is absurd. College students, these are adults, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They're afraid of free speech. A high school in San Francisco, People's Republic of California, George Washington High School, considering removing two George Washington murals, 83-year-old murals, by the way, because the artwork traumatizes students and community members. The students are essentially arguing, trying to make the case, that George Washington and the Founding Fathers, their belief in slavery and their ideas at the time, are traumatizing students today. Those murals have been in the high school for over 8 decades. Now all of a sudden depicting American history, our founding forefathers, is politically incorrect. Now other officials are saying, well, they're offensive to blacks and to Native Americans. This is getting to be absurd. Now all of a sudden, what we're going to see is people saying, well, George Washington, even though he was the father of our country and led the Revolutionary War, was the first president, well, we don't like what he had to say, and we don't like his views at the time. Therefore, we're going to take all the names off, any depictions, any statues. We're going to revise history. No freaking way. Revisionist history is a very dangerous, slippery slope. We're seeing it in the United Kingdom. There was a Winston Churchill exhibit at a museum. Big, giant picture of him over the, a very famous picture of him with a cigar in his mouth. Well, when you went to the museum, giant, giant picture, I mean, giant banner up above as you entered. Famous picture, but the cigar was photoshopped out. I mean, next do the Germans say, well, you know, really the concentration and death camps were offensive, so let's just photoshop them out of the pictures. We do not revise history. History is history. It is what it was. We do not change it. Contrary to what some of these nutcase whack jobs would like. Now here's another example of offensive speech syndrome. The former Homeland Security Secretary under President Obama, Jay Johnson, was scheduled to be the commencement speaker for the University of Southern California Law School. However, The dean of the law school, Dean Andrew Guzman, said in an email to faculty and staff that he informed Secretary Johnson that some faculty and students have raised concerns about the immigration policies of the Obama administration and therefore about having him as our commencement speaker. Now, Secretary Johnson, I'm sure, was told about this, and he bowed out gracefully. Now, I don't agree with everything Jay Johnson did. I was not an Obama fan or supporter. I thought Jay Johnson bungled things at the border, should have been tougher. Now he's coming around, realizing there is a big crisis at the border. But I never in a million years would say this man can't speak. Now, one thing I despise in politicians, when they're giving commencement addresses, don't make the speech political. When I graduated Syracuse in 1986, the senator of the senior senator of New York at the time, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, was our commencement speaker. He was great. He was not political in any way, shape, or form. He talked about his experiences when he was in college, about being a professor, some of the lessons you'll learn as you go out into the world. He was very good, non-political. The funny thing is, as I'm walking, my folks and grandparents and sister and family had left, and I was going around to the north end of the Carrier Dome. And as I'm going down the hallway, there weren't too many people. I happened to look inside this open door, and there was a like a green room, dressing room. And there was Senator Moynihan taking off his robe, you know, the black robe that you wear during commencement. He was there. There was nobody else around him. I walked in, stuck my head, and I said, Senator Moynihan. I introduced myself. I said, good speech. It wasn't political. He said, this, I remember exactly what he said to me. He said, that's my point. That was exactly what I intended. I don't want to do a political speech. Just because I'm a politician doesn't mean we have to talk politically all the time. I said, well, it was very good, and we enjoyed it. I said, even though I'm a Republican. And he got a chuckle out of that. And he was very polite and very nice. But this is the problem today. All of a sudden now, if you disagree with somebody, you don't like their policies, you don't like what they had for breakfast, all of a sudden, we can't have them as a speaker. I hate when politicians are political at commencement speeches. Goes for anyone. Not the time to be political. It is a time to celebrate students' accomplishments. It is a time to provide nuggets of wisdom. Give good stories. Talk about when you were at college, some of the things you learned, some of the things along the way that have helped you. I remember a few years ago there was one of the, I think, admirals in the United States Navy, and he spoke, I think it was to Texas A&M. Maybe it was 3-4 years ago. And he said, one of the things I'm going to tell you is always make your bed. Make your bed when you leave in the morning. That way, when you come home, you will have a nice, fresh, crisp bed that you can lie down, clean. It sets the tone for the day. Now, that is good advice. Not political, not military. We need more of that. But for the USC law students and faculty that have a problem with Jay Johnson speaking, what kind of giant pussycats are you pushing out of USC Law School? No way in hell would I ever want a lawyer that said, oh, I was offended by the possible commencement speaker, but I'm going to do a great job representing you. My answer would be, get the F out. Get the hell out of here. Get out of my office. I don't want a NADLIS beta as my attorney. Get the frick out. And by the way, I said, get the F out. We did not use any profanity here on the Cigar Dave Show, only on our podcasts. Here's another example. Brazilian President Bolsonaro announced a few weeks ago he was canceling a scheduled trip to New York City to receive an award after employees at the original venue hosting him protested, corporate sponsors dropped out, and sack of garbage Mayor Bill de Blasio referred to the conservative head of state as dangerous. Really? He's dangerous? Why, de Blasio? Because you disagree with him? Because he doesn't agree with your dumbass, ridiculous, extremist socialist positions? By the way, funniest joke I heard all this week. Mayor Bill de Blasio running for president. Good. More. Let's have more in the pot to whack each other on the Democrat primary. But the Brazilian-American Chamber of Commerce had planned to honor Brazilian President Bolsonaro at its annual award for his work to improve economic ties to the United States after two decades of socialist rule in Brazil. The event's going to go on, but not with Bolsonaro as the speaker. This is absurd. People now are offended. Here's the thing. If you're offended, don't go. Don't buy a ticket. But wait, there's more. The campus chief of police at Mount Holyoke College has been placed on leave. Why? Why? Did Chief Daniel Hecht, did he rough up a student? Did he molest a student? Did he whip out his gun threatening a student? Was there financial improprieties? No. He supports President Donald J. Trump. Students dug up tweets from Chief Daniel Hecht, which showed he thinks favorably of Trump, supports the National Rifle Association, the NRA, and supports a border wall along the Mexican-American border. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the humanity. Now, all of a sudden, members of the Mount Holyoke administration...
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227.
Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Kunda for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Enough is enough. It is getting to be absolutely absurd. Now, freedom of speech, things that should be so innocuous, things that people across the world die for, would give their right arm, their left arm, their two legs, freedom of speech, freedom to vote, freedom to assemble, freedom of religion. Now, it's offensive here in the United States. We are raising a group of giant pathetic beta wussies. When will parents start to tell their kids, or administrators at college tell these students, sorry, we believe and promote free speech. If you find that offensive, go to another school. Leave. But we promote that and we're not going to change that. You have the right to express your opinion, as do people that disagree or are diametrically opposed to your view. Whether that is a student, an administrator, a chief of police, or a faculty member. We 100% encourage diversity of opinions in a civil manner. This is a result of telling kids when they are little, you are perfect. You can do no wrong. You are an angel. You are a champion. Never mind we don't keep score. Never mind that you can't hit a ball if it wasn't on a tee. Never mind. You're still as good as the guy that can hit a 100-mile fastball, hit home runs off a pitcher throwing 100-mile-an-hour heat. Everybody's the same. No, everybody is not the same. There are various lots in life. There are winners, there are losers, there are wealthy, there are middle class that are impoverished, there are right wing, left wing, middle of the road. That's diversity. That's what we have. Everybody has a fair shot in this country to make something of themselves. That doesn't mean that everybody is going to be a millionaire, billionaire, zillionaire, or gazillionaire. Bernard Sanders is a millionaire, even though he rails against those wealthy people, people that have succeeded or have attained wealth. But now that Bernard has attained billionaire status, he just goes after the billionaires, zillionaires, and gazillionaires. All people want in this country is a fair shot. But all of a sudden now, oh, we can't have people with a fair shot. Everybody's got to be considered perfect. Everybody is a, we don't need grades anymore because everybody is wonderful, and grades will discourage, it'll encourage too much competition. We don't have enough competition on grade school levels and at high school levels. That is the problem. Kids do not know how to win with dignity and grace and lose with dignity, grace, and class. They don't know how to recover from loss and say, hey, you know, I didn't win at this game. I didn't get an A on this grade. I need to work harder. It's going to challenge me. It's going to motivate me. Instead, now, when things don't go their way, they snap, they take a gun, and they shoot up their schools. The violence we see from the millennial and Gen Z generation, the protesting of people who disagree with that generation on college campuses, all a result of the entitlement generation. Congratulations, parents and schools. You have now received and experienced the spoils of your victory. It is indeed pathetic. Let's stand up for free speech. Let's stand up for people's right to have different opinions, whether you agree or not. We as alpha males don't have this problem. We can debate, we can argue, and we can do so intelligently and rationally. The Constitution provides free speech. We will always be a safe space for free speech on the Cigar Dave Show. Litation and libation ceremony is next.
Check out the all-new CigarDave.com. Get info on the cigars and libations the General enjoys during the show. Get recipes from the Pooch Pit and drink cocktails, too. You can listen to the show on our 24/7 stream or download the latest podcast to listen to anytime. Get it all at CigarDave.com.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
As cigar connoisseurs, we love going to our cigar retailer, walking into the humidor, checking out the sights, the aromas, seeing what's new in the world of cigars. Well, I've got a great way that you can get three magnificent cigars shipped to you every month without leaving your home or your office. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club, where every month you will get three fantastic cigars shipped to you. For May 2019, we're featuring the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel-Aged Cigars, a vertical sampler of their Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel-Aged Connecticut, Sungrown, and Maduro. Nick Perdomo has taken the combination of bourbon and cigars to the next level. 6-year-old wrapper leaves, charred oak barrels, They're aged for 6 to 14 months. The results are spectacular. Even though the filler blend of Nicaraguan tobaccos is the same across all three cigars, the wrapper gives it a slightly different taste. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get three great cigars delivered to you every month. Go to CigarDave.com and join now.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
For our litation and libation ceremony today, I'm going to pull out a Macanudo Cafe Hampton Court, nice Corona 5.5 by 44. I love this cigar, very smooth. Edgar Cullman of General Cigar, this was his favorite. Connecticut shade wrapper, Mexican San Andrean binder, Dominican and Mexican filler. It is mild, it is creamy, it is smooth. Not $10 a cigar, still a classic. And I've got a cigar in an ashtray in microphone position number 2, a longtime friend, colleague, and Dean of Tampa Sports, Steve Dumig, passed away on Thursday at the age of 64. I've got a cigar in his memory. When we come back in the next hour, I will talk about him and also Doris Day, who passed away this week. So I've got my cigar, and I've also got my libation, some Belvedere vodka. It was Steve's favorite. First super premium vodka created from 600 years of Polish vodka-making tradition, 100% Polish rye and water. Very, very smooth. So I'm going to cut the end of my Macanudo Cafe. I'm going to toast the foot of this cigar. And as I do, puff and rotate, I'm going to pour a little bit of Belvedere vodka in my snifter as I puff and rotate. Oh, very smooth. Nice. Macanudo Cafe, still a classic. Let me take a sip and say cheers to the memory of Steve Dumig. He will be missed. And I will talk about Steve in the next hour and Doris Day as well. Take a sip. I'm not a big vodka drinker, but this rye vodka is pretty smooth. Very clean. Now I know why Steve liked it. Hour 2 of the Cigar Dave Show is next.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Reminder that 30 years ago, the U.S. mistook an Iranian passenger jet for a warplane. Nearly 300 people on board were killed. Concerns are up since the White House ordered warships and bombers to the region to counter a possible threat from Iran. An Iraqi official says that some foreign workers for ExxonMobil have begun evacuating from an oil field in Basra. The U.S. already ordered all non-essential diplomatic staff out of Iraq. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Former Vice President Joe Biden was on the stump in Philadelphia today telling supporters he's not promoting the anger that some pundits say is needed to win the race.
They say Democrats are so angry that the anger a candidate can be, the better chance he or she has to win the Democratic nomination. Well, I don't believe it.
Meanwhile, since he entered the race, Biden's outpolled the other 22 Democratic hopefuls, including Senator Bernie Sanders, who told an audience in Orangeburg, South Carolina, he wants new controls over failing charter schools.
The NAACP has been leading the effort in the demand for a ban on for-profit charter schools and a moratorium on federal funding of new charter schools until we can ensure that they are operating with transparency and accountability. I agree.
Meanwhile, this week, the 23rd Democratic presidential wannabe tossed his hat in the ring, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. News and analysis at townhall.com.
This is a special alert for Americans who owe more than $10,000 in back taxes. Get ready for a toll-free hotline number. Call and get free information on how to take advantage of new initiatives that could significantly reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. Call Stop IRS Debt today at 800-893-8907. Learn how you can stop collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments all by using a proven A-plus BBB-rated tax system that negotiates with the IRS for you. If you haven't filed returns in years, or you're already in a payment plan, you can still get tax relief. The government is ready to work out a generous program that can resolve your tax debt quickly. Be warned, this situation won't last forever, and your tax debt will only get worse if you don't act now. Do not try to handle it yourself. Call Stop IRS Debt now for free information. 800-893-8907. That's 800-893-8907. 800-893-8907.
Correspondent David McHugh reports Austria's vice chancellor has resigned over an alleged corruption scandal involving a Russian contact.
Austrian vice chancellor Hans Christian Strache resigned very quickly after a video scandal. Two German newspapers showed him in a discussion with an apparent Russian investor, and he appears to offer government contracts in return for media support if the investor buys an Austrian newspaper.
Baltimore officials say they have a plan to get the city's real estate market moving again in the midst of a crippling ransomware attack. A manual workaround for property sales during the recovery will begin Monday. The ransomware shut down many computer systems and has made it impossible for buyers to obtain certificates showing there are no liens against properties they want to purchase. Title insurance companies have been unwilling to approve transactions without those certificates. This is townhall.com.
Leftist calls to boycott Hollywood of the South are falling on deaf ears.
In the week since Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed into law one of the nation's most restrictive abortion laws, none of the major film or TV studios have commented on the issue or altered production plans. The backlash has been limited to smaller production companies. Some actors and actresses have suggested they will boycott filming in the state. The muted reaction is in striking contrast to what happened just 3 years ago when Netflix and Disney threatened to pull productions out of the state if a law allowing faith-based refusal of services to homosexual groups was passed. Patrick Frost reporting.
On this date in 1967, Tennessee Governor Buford Ellington signed a measure that repealed the law against teaching evolution that was used to prosecute John T. Scopes back in 1925. You can always check out more on stories by logging on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Join Ern Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
As I take a puff of my Macanudo Cafe Hampton Court, 5.5x44 Corona comes in a tube. Very, very nice. Pleasant, smooth, creamy. Sometimes we overlook these classic cigars, these oldie but goodies. And let me wash it down with just a little sip of Belvedere vodka. Not a big vodka drinker, but in the memory of longtime Tampa sports broadcaster, friend, colleague Steve Dumig, who I will speak about momentarily. I'm going to take a sip here. A very nice Polish vodka that uses rye. So very interesting. And in fact, Steve always said the reason he liked Belvedere did not give him a headache in the morning. Good enough reason for me. Before I continue, a very happy birthday to Cigar Sister Lynn, celebrating her birthday today, May 18th. So a very happy birthday to Cigar Sister Lynn, Cigar Mother Piera, celebrating with her up in New York. So I am sure they are going to go for a lovely dinner and have a nice cake and enjoy the day. So happy birthday, Lynn, and many more. On Thursday, received the news that a longtime friend, 22, 23-year friend, colleague, the dean of Tampa Bay Sports Broadcasting, Steve Dumig, passed away. Steve endured a very difficult two-year battle with brain cancer. When it was first announced 2 years ago, it really hit everybody like a lead brick. Everybody shocked. I cannot tell you at the time, for many years, Steve and I were in the same building, actually twice. People don't realize this. Steve started his career at Sports Radio 910 WFNS, I want to say back in 1991. He was a former PGA golf pro, taught lessons, somehow was paired up with Scott Brantley, a former University of Florida football player. And the rest was history. He was on for 5 years. And then WFNS was acquired by the same company where the Cigar Dave show started, Cox Media, where we are now back on our flagship station in Tampa, 102.5 FM, The Bone. And so I got to know Steve very well. Initially, when they purchased WFNS, Steve and I got to know each other pretty well. And then the stations were sold, and then we were reunited again when I moved my show to 970 WFLA, owned by J-Corp Broadcasting, and J-Corp Broadcasting put 1250 WDAE on the air at the time and brought Steve in as the afternoon host from 3 to 6 or 3 to 7, and then they moved the frequency to 620. So Steve and I have known each other for, I want to say, 23 years, almost 24 years. And for, 21 years, 22 years, we were in the same building. So, and my office was in the same building in addition to our Command Center Alpha Studios. So I would always mosey in before he started his show when he was prepping around 1:30, 2 o'clock in his office, or just before he would go on, 10 minutes before he'd go on. I would pop in the studio, pop into his office. We would talk life, politics, sports, share a few jokes, most of them that were not G-rated in any way, shape, or form, always had a lot of laughs. We'd get together for lunch now and then. Without any question, Steve had the most vast contacts, not only locally in Tampa for sports, but nationally as well. When something was going on in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room or the Tampa Bay Lightning or Tampa Bay Rays or University of Florida, Florida State, Steve Dumig had the connections. That is a dying art today. Most sports talk hosts or presenters do not have that one-on-one relationship with players, know what's going on in the locker room. Steve did. Administrators, executives would talk to him quietly. Coaches would talk to him quietly. Players, he knew the story. And nobody did more to promote hockey in the Tampa Bay area in West Central Florida than Steve. Steve was an early supporter of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Big supporter. Phil Esposito will tell you, who founded the Tampa Bay Lightning, that hockey would not have succeeded in Tampa if it were not for Steve really promoting hockey, educating the sports public about hockey. I remember the first game that I went to when the Lightning opened up, I think against the New York Rangers. And I'm trying to remember what year it was. I want to say it was 1992. Was it 1992? It was at the Fairgrounds. I had season tickets. And the reason I had season tickets, another story, is because at one time I owned some radio stations in the Tampa Bay area, and I carried Florida State football. And the man who syndicated Florida State football got together with Phil Esposito to promote an exhibition game between the Los Angeles Kings and the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Thunderdome, or the Suncoast Dome at the time. And he called me and said, look, will you carry the game? I'm like, look, I love hockey, grew up in Buffalo, I hope we get a team. Absolutely. And then, but I said with one stipulation, if we get a team, my station gets the games for this area, for the area that my stations were in. He said, Dave, done. And he never had a contract, true to his word. In fact, I've got a plaque from the first year that Phil Esposito presented me in appreciation for carrying the games and supporting the Lightning. And Steve, and Phil Esposito will tell you this, hockey would not have gone anywhere if it were not for Steve educating. And the first game I attended, I'll never forget, there's an icing call, people start cheering. Offsides, people had no clue what was going on. And much of the reason that Tampa Bay has become such an exceptional hockey town and knowledgeable hockey city is because of Steve Dumig. So Steve was made an appearance back on the air for a short time, January, February of 2018, and then focused on his recovery and on treatments up at Duke, and unfortunately received the news that on Thursday morning he had passed away. A big loss, again, not only as a friend, but if you ever listen to Steve on the air, he could be caustic, he could be opinionated, whether he was like Howard Cosell. Whether you agreed or disagreed, you liked him or you didn't, you always listened. And he was knowledgeable. hockey, football. The number of people that he had contacts with off the charts. And I'm going to give you one story. When the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hired Greg Schiano, as head coach came from Rutgers, came in with a lot of promise. It turned into a disaster quickly. He treated the players like they were five-year-olds or grade schoolers. And there's a big difference between college and pro. All of a sudden, when the pros are making more than the coach, it gets a little tougher to motivate the players and the players to take notice. There are many coaches that do it well. Greg Schiano was not one of those players, not suited to be NFL. You know, he thought he was Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick, thought he could come in, never won anything, and basically act and coach like a prick. And they were disastrous. And Steve went after him. And Steve had players that told him what was going on. Well, it got back to Coach Schiano and to the team, and they wanted to try to clear the air. So I'm in my office late one day. It was probably about 6 o'clock, just before Steve was off the air. Most everybody in the building at the time was gone. There's somebody at the front, and I'm getting ready to leave, and as I get ready to walk out the front door, I see a guy in a hoodie. A gray hoodie. I'm like, wait a minute. That's the coach of the Buccaneers, Greg Schiano. Like, very coming in like he was, you know, conducting international espionage. And I said, what the hell's he doing here? Well, he wanted to arrange a sit down with Steve because Steve was that influential on sports radio and in sports in general in the market. Probably the best known sports broadcaster in the market, anybody, radio or TV by far. Well, as it turns out, I end up finding out through Steve a few days later. I said, was that Schiano that was in the building? He said it was. He wanted to come see me and try to set the air straight. We were in the conference room, didn't want anybody to know. It was very quiet. He said, hey, let's meet somewhere. I'll meet at the Bucks facility. Let's meet at a Nope. Very, very clandestine. And he said, basically, I told him exactly what I thought, what I was hearing, for an hour and a half, and gave it to him straight. And Schiano listened to him, disagreed with some things, and apparently the air was cleared. Well, that didn't stop Steve from criticizing Schiano, and I think the damage was already done. But the mere fact that the head coach of a National Football League team would essentially make a pilgrimage to go see Steve Dumig, the big dog as he was known, to try to get some positive spin tells you everything you need to know about his stature and status and how highly respected he was in sports broadcasting and sports circles in town. So we will miss Steve. There's nobody that can take his place. There's nobody remotely close on the air on any sports radio station. There's, what, 2-3 sports stations now in the cigar city of Tampa. Nobody even close. If Steve was a 10, the closest right now is about a 1.5. And that's not a knock against them. It's simply a testament to how incredible, how vast his knowledge was, how vast his sources were, and how entertaining he was. And I after the Kentucky Derby, I said, man, I would love to have heard what Steve would say in his opening monologues, because his opening monologues, the first 15 minutes of his show, especially after a controversial sports call or play or game or win or loss or championship, something significant in sports, must listen. Absolute appointment listening. And I said to myself after the Kentucky Derby, because Steve was a great horseman too, I said, I would love to hear what Steve had to say. Now, I know what Steve would have said. No doubt about it. He would have said, I don't care if this is a big race or not. The horse came way out of his lane, could have caused serious damage, and that was no ifs, ands, or buts. The horse was spooked. When it comes across like that, no choice. The stewards did the right thing. And, of course, he would have taken calls pro and con, and he would have had experts on, but it would have been a great 3 hours of radio. Nobody, unfortunately, today in this market, in the Tampa Bay market, was knowledgeable enough after the Kentucky Derby to even broach the subject. So to Steve Dumig's wife, Jennifer, his daughter, Jill, our condolences. May Steve rest in peace. Steve, the big dog, Dumig, 1954 to 2019. We will certainly miss your broadcast acumen. We will miss your entertaining style, your in-depth style, and I will miss our many long conversations that we had talking about life, politics, sports, and loads of politically incorrect, dirty jokes. Steve, my friend, rest in peace. And we also lost another icon this week, a Hollywood icon, a legendary dame in show business, motion pictures, Doris Day.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
Just a silky, smooth, elegant voice, a lovely dame back in her prime and her heyday. She was a knockout. Wholesome, honey-voiced, tremendous movie star. You don't see that anymore. Passed away, Carmel Valley, California, where she had lived for many, many years. She was 97. Known as a bubbly blonde singer and actress, she appeared in 39 films, including the Oscar-winning 1959 legendary movie Pillow Talk with Rock Hudson. A great movie.
Pillow Talk.
Showed what a great
talk.
Actress she was, singer. Rock Hudson tried to portray himself as masculine. Who knew he was a little light in the loafers? But this is the open to Pillow Talk.
It would be to have someone to pillow talk with me.
Great movie. If you have never seen the movie, we are going to post a link to YouTube. And even if you're an alpha male, you will enjoy this movie. With Rock Hudson. Just a classic movie. Basically where she's an interior designer and they're on a party line. I mean, party lines. Who's got party lines anymore? Nobody. Everybody's got private lines. But he's the same guy, but he's rough and gruff. On one hand, but he plays this other character named Rex, who's visiting from Texas, and tries to woo Doris Day. So a double life kind of deal. But a very, very famous movie. She played in some other roles, other movies. Calamity Jane. She played in The Touch of Milk. Touch of Mink. Played a young woman courted by a wealthy Manhattan businessman. Really became the symbol of feminine innocence. Wholesomeness, if you will, but just that sex appeal, girl next door sex appeal in the 50s and 60s. She was born to a music teacher and a housewife on April 3rd, 1922, as Doris Marianne Keppelhoff in Cincinnati, Ohio. I wonder if she likes Skyline Chili. Who knows? But just a great actress. In fact, she began singing at a Cincinnati radio station, then moved on to a New York nightclub. And a bandleader changed her name to Doris Day to fit on a marquee at age 17. She married for the first time, and career took off beginning in 1947. Known as a very big animal rights activist, known in the in Carmel, California, and Monterey, just a phenomenal actress. You got to see Pillow Talk. It really is just a great movie, and there's one scene that I want to play that just shows you not only was she a great actress and a sexy, seductive actress, but she also had a great singing voice, just a very lush singing voice. Here's the bar scene, but before we play the music of her singing, Here's the scene in which she basically tells the character Rex, played by Rock Hudson, who I'm sure had a tough time portraying that he was a heterosexual male. Who knew? I mean, think about it. How many movies did you see with Rock Hudson? Would you have ever guessed he was a little bit light in the loafers? Not that there's anything wrong with that. But would you ever thought he was LGBTQ, LMNOP? Not me. The guy reeked of, masculinity. So much for that concept. In any event, she's basically, this character Rex from Texas is playing it very cool and not making a move. And so she seductively says to Rex,
"Don't you find me attractive?"
"Why, yes, ma'am. Of course."
"Well, then why haven't you ever..."
"Ever what?"
"I'm sorry, I feel so foolish."
"Well, no, go ahead. What's on your mind?"
"Well, in all the times that we've been going out together..."
"Mm-hmm."
"You've been a perfect gentleman."
"Oh, I hope I have."
"Well, you have. Oh, and I appreciate it, Rex. I really do. But..."
"Yes?"
"Well, being such a perfect gentleman and all, it's not very flattering."
"Yeah. Oh, well, ma'am, I wouldn't want to do anything that might spoil our friendship."
"Is that all it is with us? Friendship?"
"Ma'am, that's a direct question. I think it deserves a direct answer."
And at this point, Rex goes in for the kiss with Doris Day. And continuing on the same scene, not only is she a great actress, she can sing as well with just a very lush voice. Let's hit the song Roly Poly that was played during that scene.
Jan sang.
"When I first laid eyes on him, I laughed just like the rest. The more I saw, the more of him, the more I liked him best. Got a roly poly baby, point to him with pride. He's my roly poly baby, I'm satisfied. I call him Yaya Roly Poly, Yaya Roly Poly, Yaya Roly Poly, Yaya Roly Poly, Yaya Roly, Yaya Poly, Yaya Roly Poly."
"Come on, sing another one."
"Another one?
Just you put my arms around him takes about a week. But when I get my arms around, we cuddle cheek to cheek. Got a roly poly baby, sweet as that." "He is just a roly poly, but so am I.
I call her Yaya Roly Poly, Yaya Roly."
The great Doris Day, and we are going to post the link to Pillow Talk. And she had some other great movies. And I'm sure that some of the movie networks will start showing some marathon days of all of the Doris Day movies. But just elegant, sexy, still wholesome, but just had that. You know, when I tell a woman she's a dame, that means she's elegant, sophisticated, smart, refined. That is Doris Day encapsulated. Doris Day was a dame in every sense of the word. We don't see those dames or those legendary icons in Hollywood or in show business anymore. Unfortunately, I think the last of that era is gone. Doris Day, rest in peace at the age of 97. And to my longtime good friend, Tampa sports dean and legend, Steve Dumig, rest in peace, my friend. I'm raising a glass of Belvedere to you right now.
This month's Cigar Dave Officers Club selection is a Perdomo Habano Reserve Bourbon Barrel Aged Vertical Sampler, including the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged Maduro. This medium to full-bodied smoke has rich, robust flavors and notes of dark cocoa and roasted coffee. Get cigars like these shipped directly to you every month by joining the Cigar Dave Officers Club today. Get details at CigarDave.com.
You
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars wearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
America's Alpha Male with Nads of Steel, the General. Cigar Dave.
All right, for the last half hour, we are going to shift gears a little bit. I'm going to go back into the world of aviation. I am not done excoriating Boeing on their handling of the 737 MAX disasters, which has turned into a giant fiasco for Boeing. What an embarrassment. the CEO a few weeks ago at their annual meeting, arrogant, aloof, not taking any blame for what took place. And the board of directors, after that meeting, should have fired the CEO of Boeing, who, by the way, started as an engineer at Boeing. And Boeing now is saying, oh, no, no, we, engineering and passenger safety are number one. They are liars. The senior executives of Boeing that were complicit and involved in the 737 MAX design, the hurry-up of numerous systems instead of properly testing things, hiding the MCAS, the maneuvering system that was put on the airplane because the 737 MAX is an inherently unstable plane. Let me go back let me recap for you. Why is the 737 MAX a bad airplane? Why is the 737 MAX called what I'm saying is inherently unstable? What does that mean? Aircraft manufacturers design their aircraft to be stable, meaning that in level flight, in banks, when you put it into a bank, you put it into a climb or a descent, you trim the forces off, use your trim control, which counteracts the horizontal stabilizer or the rudder, the ailerons, and it stays in the configuration which you put it in. That's what every aircraft manufacturer wants, an inherently stable airplane. You don't want a plane that after you trim that airplane and it's in a climb, all of a sudden, boom, the nose is going to come down. Well, the 737 design, as I have said, is a design that goes back to 1967. It's a 52-year-old design that has never really been improved. What essentially Boeing has done on every model of the 737 that has been released, from the 737-100 to the 200 to the 300 to the 700 to the 800 to the 900, now to the 737 MAX, is essentially stretch and stretch and stretch the airplane. They put new engines. They kept the avionics. They've improved them to put what we call a glass cockpit, which are TV screens, essentially our LCD panels, to show all the information. But because Boeing and the airlines that bought the 737, one of the big sales pitches Boeing made was, your pilots will not need any training, any additional training. If they're already certified in a Boeing 737-300 or a 700 or an 800, no problem. They can go right to the MAX. All they need is about an hour transition training. They can read in a manual or in an iPad. And Boeing was so confident of this that they put in a contract, in all their contracts, saying we will pay the airline, or any airline that buys the plane, $1 million per airplane purchased in the event pilots have to go back in the simulator. So Boeing had a financial incentive not to release information about the MCAS system. Why? Well, all of a sudden, if every pilot at American, Southwest, and United, or any other airline has to go back into a simulator for an hour, 2 hours, to experience how to disable the MCAS system, to get used to the MCAS system, what can happen in the event of a failure? Well, $1 million per plane. Looking back on it, that would be a very small check that Boeing would have to write compared to the liability they will now have after the 2 737 MAX crashes that occurred, one in October, and the other in October, November, and the other just about 6-8 weeks ago. Boeing, every step of the way of that 737 MAX, knew that they had a problem airplane on their hands. Part of the 737 MAX was they wanted to make it more efficient. We're going to stretch it. We're going to make it more efficient. Bigger engines. How to do that, unfortunately, wasn't so simple. Because Boeing 737s were built and designed for use in Europe initially at airports where they had no air stairs, no jetways, before there was the luggage conveyors that we see prevalent on airplane tarmac or airport tarmac ramps all over the place today. They had to physically, the airline employees, the ground handlers, the baggage handlers, had to physically lift those bags up and put it in the back of the plane. Well, Boeing designed to make it easy, low to the ground. You wouldn't have to lift it 10, 12 feet in the air. So just lift it right up. Same thing, they had an air stair at the front. Well, that was great in the 60s and the 70s, but things changed in the 80s. But Boeing never wanted to change that plane because all the airlines that purchased them saying, hey, we don't want to spend more money on training. So every subsequent model that came out, all you needed was about an hour in a book, and that was it. Until the 737 MAX. The engines are so big that Boeing's engineers, the only way they could get those engines on the plane was to increase the height of the nose gear by about 8 to 12 inches and raise and bring forward the engines. So they had to raise the entire plane. They had to raise the nose gear, and they had to move the engines forward. When you do that, you change the center of gravity, the CG of an airplane. What does that mean in layman's terms? Meaning there would be a tendency of the nose to pitch up because the center of gravity was changed. So what did Boeing do? Instead of saying, this is not going to work, we've now totally changed the plane, we have to redesign the airframe. No, Boeing didn't want to do that because they promised airlines that would be out in a few years and no additional training, and Boeing didn't want to spend the additional money. They decided not to do what's called a clean sheet design, which would have cost $10 billion, which is what they should have done in the first place. So what happened? They put in this MCAS system, which basically pointed the nose down. In the event the nose became too heavy or pointed too high, unbeknownst to the pilots, this system would work in the background and lower the nose. Now, one thing, as a pilot, I can tell you, and every pilot, I speak for every pilot that flies an airplane, no pilot wants a surprise. No pilot wants something sprung on them while they're in the cockpit, while they're on the flight deck, while they're flying the airplane, an issue happening that they are not informed about. Everything should be disclosed and informed so that when they get into a cockpit, you know what can happen. Now, if somebody would have told the pilots about this MCAS system, two things would have happened. Number one, the pilots, unions and the pilots, and the airlines would have all said to Boeing, we need to put our pilots back into training for an hour or two in the simulator to experience what can happen if the MCAS system takes over or if there's an MCAS failure. Boeing didn't disclose it. They are criminal. That's the first thing. The second thing is, had the additional training, the pilots would have known exactly what to do. Boeing is saying, well, pilots should know what to do because of the trim. You disconnect the trim. It's a different system. And as you will find out a little bit later, just a few minutes, Boeing made a change on some very important knobs and levers that would have basically surprised the pilots. So what happens? Boeing doesn't tell the airlines. They don't tell the pilots. There's not a dual redundancy system where you have two sensors, which the MCAS system, there's two sensors built in, but only one is standard. The second is an option. Now think about this. That would be today like buying a car with airbags and seatbelts being optional or brakes being optional. When you have a system, you need to have two different measures. So if there is an imbalance, a light goes off in the cockpit saying there's a problem. Issue. Be alert of this. Disconnect the system. Get on. Keep it on the ground. Have maintenance look at it. Boeing not only sold the second MCAS sensor as an option, they disconnected the warning light when the airlines that did pay for it for two redundant MCAS exterior probe sensors, they disconnected the mismatch light in the cockpit and didn't tell the pilots and didn't tell the airlines. Southwest didn't know about it. American didn't know about it. That is criminal. Now, there was released earlier this week audio between American Airlines pilots, representatives of American Airlines pilots, and Boeing senior executives. They had a senior vice president. In fact, I want to make sure I have the exact name here. It was Boeing Vice President of Product Development and Future Airplane Development, Mike Sinnott. They had an engineer, one of these senior engineers, and they also had a government affairs representative. So they had three Boeing clowns meeting with the American Airlines pilots less than 1 month after the Lion Air plane crashed, and the Boeing execs got an earful from the American pilots. The pilots let Boeing have it. Cut one.
We flat out deserve to know what is on our airplanes.
I don't disagree.
So the pilot's saying, we need to know. Boeing, we don't disagree. Well, then why didn't Boeing tell the pilots? Why didn't Boeing tell the airlines? They hid it. Again, criminal. And the American Airlines pilots were angry that the MCAS system details not revealed to all the airlines that the existence of the system was even there until after the Lion Air crash. Cut two.
These guys didn't even know the damn system was on the airplane, nor did anybody else.
Now, what does that tell you? You're a pilot. You're not told that there's a system, a computerized system, that can override the flight controls, and you don't know about it? Pilots don't like surprises. And guess what? Neither do passengers. Passengers don't want surprises like this. They want to have confidence in an airliner. This is what Boeing VP of Product Development and Future Airplane Development, Mike Sinnott, who may be in an orange jumpsuit at a federal penitentiary sooner rather than later, said about Boeing hiding the MCAS system details.
I don't know that understand this system would have changed the outcome of this. You know, a million miles are going to maybe fly this airplane, and maybe one's going to see this ever. So we try not to over...
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
You also don't want to fix the wrong things.
Well, they fixed nothing. Because 4 months later, another plane goes down. An Ethiopian Air 737 MAX goes down when the MCAS system, the exterior probe, gives a incorrect reading, causes the MCAS system to go off continuously. Now, when I come back, I'll tell you about Boeing. They knew about the alert problems a year before telling the FAA. They altered key switches in the 737 MAX. Boeing engineers are saying that cost-cutting, relentless cost-cutting, and the pressure to get this airplane done sacrifice safety. And the question is, Would you or I as a passenger ever get on board another 737 MAX? I can tell you my answer. Final and concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show comes your way next.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
As cigar connoisseurs, we love going to our cigar retailer, walking into the humidor, checking out the sights, the aromas, seeing what's new in the world of cigars. Well, I've got a great way that you can get 3 magnificent cigars shipped to you every month without leaving your home or your office. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club, where every month you will get 3 fantastic cigars shipped to you. For May 2019, we're featuring the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged Cigars, a vertical sampler of their Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged Connecticut, Sun Grown, and Maduro. Nick Perdomo has taken the combination of bourbon and cigars to the next level. 6-year-old wrapper leaves, charred oak barrels, they're aged for 6 to 14 months. The results are spectacular. Even though the filler blend of Nicaraguan tobaccos is the same across all 3 cigars, the wrapper gives it a slightly different taste. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get 3 great cigars delivered to you every month. Go to CigarDave.com and join now.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Next week, our Memorial Day show that we will be conducting from the Bad Monkey Military Bar. It's a big conference that comes into the Cigar City of Tampa dealing with Special Operations Forces. Thank you, Sergeant Steve. Special Operations Forces dealing with the Central Command. So we will have some great guests as we pay tribute to our men and women of the military Memorial Day show next Saturday. Hard to believe Memorial Day is a week from Monday. Don't forget, if you're a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, the May 2019 selection of the Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel. Let me try that one more time. I'm trying to do it too quickly. The Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Age Vertical Sampler. Great selection of the Connecticut, the Sun Grown, the Maduro Age, the wrappers age for 14 months in bourbon barrel casks. They will be shipped out next week. You will love these cigars. I had the Perdomo HBBA Connecticut earlier this week. Outstanding. Let me finish up about Boeing. A lot of information has come out since the last time we talked about the 737 MAX issues 3 weeks ago. Boeing knew about the safety alert problem for a year before telling the FAA and the airlines. And the problem kept a safety feature found on earlier models from functioning on the 737 MAX. So Boeing didn't share information about the problem with a cockpit safety alert for about a year. So consequently, you have pilots, airlines flying around these planes without even knowing that the safety alert was disengaged. Criminal on the part of Boeing. And again, their CEO, Dennis Muilenburg, is an embarrassment to Boeing. When he says Boeing has safety, number one, engineering and passenger safety, he's lying. Boeing has been, without any question, negligent and criminal during this entire 737 MAX design, development, and build program. Another example, Boeing altered key switches in the 737 MAX cockpit, limiting the ability to shut off the MCAS, the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System. And again, when you need as an airline airplane manufacturer, when engineers have to put on a Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System to lower the nose because you essentially have an inherently unstable airplane because of the fact they've stretched the thing so damn much and they had to reposition the giant engines, you've got a problem. That plane should have never left the Renton, Washington factory, period. So in the middle of the Boeing 737 cockpit, there are two toggle switches that can immediately shut off power to the systems that control the angle of the plane's horizontal tail. But Boeing changed the switches on the 737 MAX that disengaged the MCAS system. They altered the labeling, the purpose of those switches, and they really didn't explain that to the pilots. So now the pilots going in, switches which you think are going to disable things, don't. And then you have former Boeing engineers saying relentless cost-cutting has essentially sacrificed safety. At every step of the process, whenever the engineers would do something to change, to engineer the airplane properly, senior executives would say, well, wait a minute, is this going to change the training to level D, meaning the pilots had to go back in the simulator? Everything was geared to avoid that. Engineers were told to rush things. Engineers that had the opportunity to put tons of information, state-of-the-art information on the avionic screens in front of the pilots, they were told no. Why? It's going to cause the pilots to have to go back and train. So the 737 MAX is an airplane with essentially 1960s and 70s avionics technology in it. And here's the question. When 737 MAXs fly again, will passengers get on board? A lot of airlines are worried. Boeing said they're going to spend a lot of dollars and explain to the public it's safe. Airlines are saying it. Would you go on a 737 MAX ever again? No chance in hell. I wouldn't, and you shouldn't, and this is coming from a pilot. We'll have more on the criminal activities of Boeing, I am sure. Cigar Dave, the General, saying Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Make masculinity great again. Screw the senior Boeing executives. Put them in jail. And lastly, happy birthday, Cigar Sister Liz.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster. Trade moves with allies.
Against the backdrop of a trade dispute with China, President Trump has taken steps to ease tensions with America's allies, lifting import taxes on Canadian and Mexican steel and aluminum, and delaying auto tariffs that would have hurt Japan and Europe. As part of the deal, the Canadians and Mexicans agreed to scrap retaliatory tariffs they had imposed on U.S. goods. That clears a key roadblock to a new North American trade pact. Ken Lorman reporting.
Last 2 days have been filled with thunderstorms across the central plains, all the way from North Dakota to Texas. Some tornadoes touching down in Nebraska and other states. Texas had three on Saturday. Arkansas had one. Oklahoma had a tornado. Some 50 have been reported since Friday. Meanwhile, the thousands without power in a number of states and thousands of flights canceled, nearly 700, thousands of flights delayed, that is, nearly 700 were canceled because of weather. The International Monetary Fund says it's reached a preliminary agreement with Pakistan for a $6 billion bailout over the next 3 years in order to finance sweeping economic reforms.
IMF envoy Ernesto Ramirez-Rigo says the two sides have reached a staff-level agreement subject to approval by the IMF management and the executive board. Pakistan had initially sought an $8 billion bailout to address a long-running fiscal crisis and has held months of talks with the international lender. The U.S., which exerts major influence over the IMF, has said it should not finance the tens of billions of dollars in loans that Pakistan has taken from China as part of the Belt and Road Initiative. Jeremy House reporting.
And this, some more in news analysis at townhall.com.
Hello, I'm Alexander Green, Chief Investment Strategist at the Oxford Club. We're one of the oldest financial clubs in the nation with more than 140,000 members, and our audited track record shows we're one of the few groups whose recommendations have outperformed the market for the last 20 years. The reason? Our approach is unique. We ignore the mainstream financial media, we don't listen to politicians, and we really don't care about analyst rating. Those things are a waste of time. There's only one thing you need to know to do very well in the stock market, and that is find great stocks with breakthrough products, record revenue, and very happy shareholders. With that in mind, I've just uncovered my highest rated stock of the year. It's a company that brings in more revenue than IBM, Facebook, and even Google, and they're set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America. And yet, the stock is available for just $3 a share. Go to onestockretirement.com to learn more about this opportunity. Again, that's onestockretirement.com.
Prince William has spoken candidly about the death of his mother, Princess Diana, describing his bereavement as, quote, a pain like no other pain. Correspondent Zara Shackley has more.
Speaking in a BBC documentary on mental health, William also says that his time working as an air ambulance pilot gave him the impression that death was just around the door and the thoughts had become a problem until he spoke with someone. The comments were part of a discussion about personal struggles that William shared with soccer stars Peter Crouch, Terry Henry, Danny Rose, Jermaine Jenas, and England's manager Gareth Southgate. Prince William and his brother Prince Harry have championed the cause of addressing mental health health issues, hoping the frank admissions on their own struggles will encourage others in need to seek help. Zaria Shackley, London.
Check out breaking news, read more analysis, both at townhall.com. A man who found his missing friend dead during a bear hunting trip on Alaska's Kodiak Island says he and another hunting friend thought the man had stormed off in frustration, as he's done in the past.
Alexander Devorov says he found the body of 39-year-old Vyacheslav Akivenko 6 days later. Devorov says there was no indication that Akivenko had been mauled by a bear or harmed himself. Devorov suspects his friend either had a heart attack or might have been poisoned by something he picked up at eight. He says he found a root in his friend's pocket that had been shaved off the sides for consumption. An autopsy will be conducted to determine Akivenko's cause of death. Patrick Frost reporting.
On this date in 1896, the U.S. Supreme Court in Plessy v. Ferguson endorsed separate but equal racial segregation, a concept that was renounced 58 years later by Brown v. Board of Education of Topeka. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
From the Fox News Radio studios in New York City, information you want, truth you demand. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, thanks so much for listening, everyone. I owe you a favor. 1-866-408-7669. At the bottom of the hour, another author will be with me, David Cohn and Jack Curry, teamed up on David Cohn's life. The outstanding pitcher who won 194 games has put his pen to paper, and it's an excellent book. The guy has he's got a Cy Young, five world championships, and is very honest about what he was like as a kid, how his dad had to clamp down on him, some of his transgressions in the league, and how he got so very, very good. And I got a special guest who is no stranger to Fox Nation viewers. It is Shannon Bream, who is kind enough to contribute to our show more consistently than anyone not named Chris Steierwalt or Chris Wallace.
What? It's me versus the Chris's?
No, that's how dedicated you are, but I can't put down other members of Fox.
No, you
just
shouldn't.
Because you're here. Well, but you're here for a special reason, to meet me in person, which you have never done. And
first
also
time for everything.
For the announcement of, and the official unveiling of, and the release of Finding the Bright Side, The Art of Chasing What Matters, the story of Shannon Bream. There's been unauthorized biographies of you, but this is the first one that is true.
This is the first I've cooperated with. So and by cooperated with, I mean wrote it myself.
Right. Unlike Charles Barkley, who came out and denied what was in his autobiography.
Right.
That was the most fun thing.
I love
thing.
It. Your name's on it.
Right. And I should not have talked to you according to the format. I should have went right to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
So if you're thinking about going to war against Iran, you need a hell of a lot more than 120,000 troops. But the fact is, you don't really want to go to war against Iran, given what it would entail.
Yeah, a lot of death and destruction. Iran is in the Middle East. Is the Middle East about to explode after two commercial Saudi ships are attacked? Secretary Pompeo scrambles to brief allies on the Iranian danger, and our defense secretary says, oh, you need troops? How about 120,000?
Number two.
China has been taking advantage of the United States for many, many years. I'm not just talking about during the Obama administration. You can go back long before that.
That is the President of the United States. Trade war causing short-term pain for a lot of people in this country, but it's long-term gain. It's time for the President to explain his plan to the people because he has a good story to tell.
Number one.
But you wouldn't go with a U.S. attorney like Durham, someone of his stature, unless the attorney general thinks actually something criminal might have happened, that someone might have violated the law.
John Yoo weighing in last night on the naming by Attorney General Barr of a U.S. attorney to find out exactly how Comey and his crew set out to either take down Trump or shut down Russia. They were 0 for 2. Shannon Bream, welcome.
It is great to be with you, Brian.
I'm just going to get this out of the way. What a great tour you have set up, all right? You've already been to Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yeah, my alma mater, Liberty University.
For your book. Then Naples, Florida, May 18th at Barnes & Noble. It'll be at 12. Palm Beach Gardens in Florida. I've been there. Fantastic. May 18th. Same day. Two in a day?
Yeah. We're crisscrossing the country. Well, or the state.
Yeah,
I don't want to overstate it.
It's not that far, really. I mean, don't overstate what you're doing. I mean, it's good, but it's not.
I like to underplay. Underpromise and overperform.
Already exhausted. She's traveling with multiple outfits. Then she goes to the Villages May 19th.
I'm taking multiple tiaras, too. Because you need to change it up.
Right. Because you have a background in pageants.
I do, which you'll find out about in Finding the Bright Side.
Same as me. May 30th, Simi Valley, California. June 1st, Knoxville, Tennessee. June 2nd, Nashville, Tennessee. And June 8th in Dallas. It's all on ShannonBream.com. Finding the Bright Side. Shannon, I loved it. You gave me an advanced copy.
I demanded that you read it.
Right. You came up, first off, how you were brought up. People know where you are at 11. They know every time something happens at Supreme Court, you're there. We know you're breaking down everything that needs to be broken down leading up to your show. We don't know how you became you.
Mm-hmm.
First off, strict Christian household, correct?
Oh, super. You know, the chapter about my mom, called Meanest Mom in the World. Now, that's not disparaging. She loved that. She bought herself a plaque that actually said that. And she meant it. And she was super strict. And I told you guys on Fox and Friends that there's also a chapter called Footloose, but not Fancy Free, because when Footloose came out, I was not allowed to see the movie because it was so rebellious and crazy. I mean, I grew up in Footloose. There was no dancing. There was no drinking and none of that.
So a couple of things. Number one, you're very disciplined. Was it hard making friends? Well, when you were somebody that had to come home right after school.
Right. I was a super nerd. I mean, listen, I had the glasses. I loved books. I was always reading kind of in my own world. And then to cap it off, my uncoolness, my mom was a teacher at the school I went to. So I got away with nothing. She's giving detentions to the cool kids. I mean, like, you know, it wasn't easy.
Listen, I know exactly what you mean. My mom became a lunch lady in junior high school.
Oh.
That's the years when everyone's, like, growing or not growing.
Right.
And I decided not to grow. So not only was I
so rebellious.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm watching a time in which you're meshing all the grammar schools into a junior high school. Mm. And my mom's the lunch lady.
I mean,
you watch the way they talk to the lunch ladies.
Not nice.
Yeah. So that was something. She thought I enjoyed it.
Right. Yes.
Did your mom?
My mom's like, I'm always here for you. I'm like, get out of my school. I don't need you to always be here.
So as you excel academically, when it's time to get into the pageant business, that to me is counterintuitive to somebody mm-hmm. who's on one path and goes, it seems almost like a rebellious path, right?
It was funny because, listen, I never did the kid pageant thing or any of that. My parents would have been dead set against that. But when I was in college, I knew about the Miss America system, and I checked it out, the local pageant they were having, and I knew that there was a lot of scholarship money. We didn't have money. I didn't grow up with that. So I borrowed people's evening gowns. I borrowed everything, jewelry and all that kind of stuff to compete. And then from what I ended up winning, it paid for college for me.
So, and this is Miss America
mm-hmm.
path. That means mm-hmm. you have to have a skill.
You got to do a performing talent. You do.
And?
I would classical piano, a little Chopin.
So I think it takes so much internal, legitimate confidence. Like, mm-hmm. if you could be an actor, I think you could mask confidence. You could be trying to prove something. But as someone in pageant, you're being judged constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that innate confidence come from?
I do think it's the discipline you mentioned. I mean, I grew up, started piano formally when I was 5 years old and took it very seriously and thought about it as a career at one point, then realized I was not going to be quite that good. A little reality check, but it was good enough to be able to perform and to do things like Miss America. And I enjoyed the challenge of it. I mean, prepping for these interviews is much like what we do for work now. You got to know all the current events. You got to know what your opinions and your thoughts are on all these things. And I really loved it. To me, it was like a new challenge.
But you also got to be in great shape. You got to wear a bathing suit.
I was hungry.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Pretty much for a few years, yeah.
Do you hate the people you're competing against?
Negative. I will tell you, though, I was super young when I went to Miss America because I entered this first pageant. 6 months later, I'm in the finals in Miss America. That's not usually what happens. I thought it would take me a few years if I ever got there. So when I get there, there are these gorgeous women who are 4 or 5 years older than me, much more experienced. And there was one girl in particular who seemed like she was having a bad day. And I remember saying to her, like, are you okay? How'd your interview go? And she said, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win. She didn't, by the way, but
I guess, are you sure we're not talking about the same person?
But no. Anyway, that kind of slapped me in the face a little bit, like, oh, this is not fun and games. This is super competitive. But so funny now that we have become friends on Facebook all these years later. And you know what? It's a high pressure thing and you're young and you're crazy and you get through it.
How did it affect you?
I have terrible stage fright when it comes to the piano. I mean, I'll run my mouth all day. You know that. So I wasn't scared of the onstage questions and things, which a lot of the girls were. But the talent thing really took everything I had. I prayed a lot, and I honestly relied on my faith. Like, Lord, you got me here. You got to get me through this Chopin piece on live television. And so it really taught me to grow up a lot.
Right. Now, if you weren't successful, would it have been the Lord's fault?
I think he has a path for all of us. And there have been times when I've been fired, been unsuccessful, and I do think it's all part of the plan.
So you go to Liberty University, great school, unbelievable campus, wonderful people, Falwells. Everybody talks about Shannon Bream there. I was able to speak there. And famous vice president just spoke there and gave the commencement address. So how did that impact you?
You know, I think
because there's
that
a religious aspect to it. It's tri-campus.
Right. It was very important to me to go somewhere that I could continue to explore my faith. Because I think those years, like 17 to 21, 22, you do have a lot of questions and doubts and all kinds of things. It was a great place for me to work through that stuff because I knew that my professors weren't just great educators, but we shared this faith where they would actually pull you aside like, hey, you're struggling. What's going on? It was very personal, and it was a different way to go to college. But, yeah, dry campus, curfew, all that kind of stuff. But the funny thing is, I felt like when I got there, every other kid feels like they're on lockdown. I felt like I had gone free.
Because
how I grew up.
Because you're
seriously.
Oppressive
upbringing. Like, no one knows where I am until midnight. Now I got to be in bed at midnight, but until then, it's just crazy.
Right. What is your curfew now?
My curfew now is about 12:30 is when I get home in the morning.
Yeah, unless you go to a movie, and depends on whose parents driving.
Right. If I Uber, then I can stay out even later.
Hey, Finding the Bright Side, the focus of that book is Shannon Bream. It shouldn't surprise you when you write a biography. You are the focus. The Art of Chasing What Matters. So, Shannon, you make out for journalism, and how did the path lead to Fox?
Well, it's crazy because I was an attorney for a few years. I get into journalism by becoming an intern at the ripe old age of 29, and I'm making coffee and running the teleprompter and stuff, just learning the business from the inside. That first boss put me on TV eventually because I'd go out with any reporter, and there were some who were really kind to let me go with them and photographers. That boss who gave me a chance put me on TV leaves. The next guy who comes in gives me 2 weeks, and he calls me in the office and says, I don't know what they were thinking. You are the worst person I've ever seen on TV, and you'll never make it in this business. That really knocked me for a loop. It
of
does
course,
keep you humble.
Why wouldn't
it? I mean, it's a good lesson. It's good to learn that early on. But several years later, in different trips through Charlotte, North Carolina, and the NBC station in Washington, I finally meet Britt Hume at a speech that he's giving
Who's this Britt Hume?
He was doing the 6 o'clock show at the time, still at Fox. And I'm with him in a green room where he's giving a speech backstage, and my husband's nice enough to speak up and say, oh, you may not recognize my wife, but she's a local anchor here in Washington. He's like, oh, that's nice. What do you want to do? I stick my neck out and say, I want to come work for you at Fox. And he's like, yeah, I get that all the time. Kind of nicely blowing me off. I was sort of embarrassed. But he's like, here's my address. Send over your little DVD, and I'll give you some advice. And I was like, well, that's nice of him. I leave the room kind of embarrassed that I've done this. But while I'm gone, he says to Sheldon, hey, did she like covering politics? What's her thing? He's like, well, when she was in law school, she worked in the Florida House of Representatives. He's like, wait a minute. She went to law school. Did she finish? Sheldon says, yeah, she graduated with honors. And Britt's like, do you think that she would want to cover the Supreme Court for Fox? And Sheldon's like, well, I don't want to speak for her, but I think she'd be, you know, at least interested. So I've left the, you know, room 10 minutes before to take my little walk of shame around the place. I come back. I walk in, and Britt says, when can you start? So I have no idea what's happened in the room during this time, but that was the start. It took months because I was still under contract to NBC, but eventually here I am.
Wow. I remember Britt Hume was very proud that he found you. And mm-hmm. Megyn Kelly. There's two people in particular.
I know. He's like, I found these lawyers who get what Fox does, get what our viewpoint is, and they understand television. They've worked in television. So I felt very blessed.
So you're about to get married to Sheldon. Great guy. Mm-hmm. And you also write about the brain tumor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I mean, how did that affect your relationship, and how worried were you?
I mean, terrified. You're 24 years old. You're planning your wedding, and you find out that your fiancé has a brain tumor. It just stops everything. It just, you know, it shocks you. It puts your life on pause because all you're thinking about finding the right doctor, finding the right surgeon, just surviving this thing, and you go into survival mode for that. It's a really tough couple of years. He's doing great now, but I will tell you, I was afraid of marriage. My parents were divorced, remarried to other wonderful people. I had great step-parents, but still the whole concept of marriage was pretty scary
to
me.
Because it's brutal on the kid.
Yeah, when you're caught in the middle of a divorce. So I will say that the brain tumor was good in that it made me realize I don't want to live without this guy.
Right.
And I want to get married. I want to spend my life with him. So it really bonds you, and it makes you serious about the commitment you're making.
At a young age, but you were serious anyway.
We were, but that really locked it in for me. Like, marriage is a good, positive thing, and you want to build a life with this guy. So let's fight to keep him alive, and thank God he is.
Does he know how sarcastic you were?
He is afraid of that.
Yeah, he's afraid of you.
If he's listening right now, he's always like, right. You and Kilmeade, I get it. You kind of get each other.
Right.
But I think with him, my sarcasm scares him a little bit.
Okay, good. So you don't use it.
I don't use it. I feel like
sarcasm doesn't work and people get insulted. It kind of, then you
feel
bad.
Right, and when you live with them and are married to them, it's not the healthiest thing.
And the reason why it works for us is because we decide not to live together.
Yeah, and I think that was a good choice.
In retrospect, yes. At first, I was hurt.
Prospectively, retrospectively, and all perspectives.
All
I think
perspectives.
It was a good decision.
With an IBE.
Right. You know, I used to share an office with Peter Doocy in Washington. And so I always say to people like, oh, we used to be roommates. And I mean office mates, but he gets very freaked out about that. He's like, office mates, not roommates.
Really?
I would
be honored to pretend
Thank
you were a roommate.
Thank you. I'll remind young Doocy of that.
Listen, the story's out there. We're not done with Shannon yet. We also are following the breaking news on the market, which is surprisingly strong today after the president's statements late in the afternoon. But is that the case? I'm going to have to ask the woman who hosted the 11 o'clock show when we come back, and also ask about the Iranian situation, the threat, and Congresswoman Tlaib. It turns out many people think she was taken out of context. We'll find out what Shannon thinks, because that's all that matters.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload, but what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
Texting enrolls for recurring automated marketing text messages. Message and data rates may apply. Texting privacy rules and terms and conditions at textrules.us.
Has dinner got you down? Sick of awful frozen meals or unhealthy fast food? Don't despair, because Martha Stewart is doing a free taste test, giving away 3 full-size meals from her new meal kit delivery service, Martha and Marley Spoon. All fresh ingredients with Martha's delicious and easy recipes. You're eating in just 30 minutes. To be part of Martha's at-home taste test and get 3 free meals, be one of the first 100 people to text the word HANDY to 246810. It's so easy. Text us now. Martha and Marley Spoon meals are easy, simple, and delicious. And right now, Martha wants you to enjoy 3 of her best 30-minute meals for free, so you can save time and enjoy eating dinner again. To be part of Martha's at-home taste test and get your 3 free meals, be one of the first 100 people to text HANDY to 246810. That's HANDY to 246810. HANDY to 246810.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Saturday morning television holds great memories for those who grew up in the 50s through the 80s. Reminiscent of the Monkees, Hanna-Barbera created the Banana Splits, an animated four-member rock and roll band who hosted an hour of cartoons on NBC every Saturday morning from 1968 to 1970.
Tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I was struck by this chapter, Shannon Bream, as I look at your book, Finding the Bright Side, now available today. Date like a man?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Listen, I, like everyone out there, well, maybe not, but most people, I've had my heart broken a couple of times. And at the end of my college years, I'd really had a bad experience with this one guy. And I said, that's it. I'm dating like a man. I'm going to go out and have fun with people I just think are fun and interesting and cute. Maybe have a free meal or two. Maybe, you know, a little make out here and there. Nothing too serious. But I'm not getting emotionally involved with anybody.
Right.
That's how men date, right? That's what you guys are about?
I would think so. Unless you meet someone you care more than that.
Yeah. And, of course, as soon as I did my plan to date like a man, that's when I met my husband.
Wow. Let me ask him. Is that from a country music song? Because it sounds like it should be.
No, maybe we should, work on some lyrics.
Right. If we could put drinking in there somehow.
And a dog,
yeah.
Then we got a hit song.
And you also have to reference past country artists. Like George Strait.
Okay. Is that like trying to get people to retweet you?
Right.
Like you mentioned George Strait, Drake Strait's like, this is the best new song out there.
I know. It seems to be the formula. So I said to you in the break, you're talking about if this is about you and your family, it must not have been easy to expose your life like this. Mm-hmm. While you're writing this, did you sometimes say, ooh, do I want to say this?
Mm-hmm.
Do I realize, even though this is a better chapter, at the end of it, people are going to know a lot more about me?
Yeah.
Is that the hardest part about rolling out your book today?
Yeah,
or is it the most gratifying? I don't know.
Well, it's weird, because you have to go back through things that were really difficult that you kind of put, close the chapter. Like you survived it and you feel good. You have to go take and reopen the wounds, like I did talking about Sheldon with his brain tumor. And with me, with my physical challenges, where I got to such a horrible, dark place, living in constant pain, that I actually considered taking my own life. That's not something you talk about every day. But I felt like it was important to include all that stuff in the book because people do, I think generally I am kind of a sunny, super positive person. That's the way I attack life. But that was a very real place. And I think there are other people who are struggling, who find themselves in a horrible, dark place. And I want them to know you can climb your way out.
Your dad passed away. That wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Your mom's here to enjoy your success. Is that the best part? Being able to pick up the phone after a show that you think is good or bad, being able to talk to her?
Yeah, I love it. And she's so, so supportive of everything I do, even when it's terrible. She's like, that's great. You're awesome.
I mean, listen, it wasn't great.
She's one of these people who growing up, like, listen, she was honest with me. Like, you are not going to be a gymnast. You can't do a cartwheel and you're taller than your gymnastics teacher.
That's what my mom said to me, too.
That's not going to happen. They were right about both of us. But she's just so encouraging about everything I do now. And I do have moments where I think, I'm going to call my dad. He would love this. And I realize he's not there. But I feel like in some way, hopefully he can see what's happening. And I think I'll see him again.
I guarantee it. Now, the question is, will this be a movie, and who will play you?
Ooh, let's pick someone really hot and beautiful to play me. But who's going to play you? Because you prominently figure in the book.
Right. Would you say, who say that again?
Margot Robbie.
Oh, come on.
Now,
she is beautiful. Whatever. She is stunningly gorgeous and about one-tenth of my age, so she's not going to play me.
Right.
She can play me in childhood.
Yeah, I just know.
Childhood me.
Yeah, well, that's true. You have to have a childhood. Yet.
Right. There has to be young people for me.
Right. Or you could have Tom Hanks.
That's for you.
Oh, that's true. For
me. Or do you want Tom Hanks to play me?
I just know there's a Showtime series running out, and somebody introduced and said, I'm going to play you in the series.
Were you like, oh, I've made it.
Oh, Margot Robbie, perfect for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm just seeing her now. Pick up Shannon Bream's book, Finding the Bright Side.
Thanks,
Shannon.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The state of Georgia's new heartbeat bill will go into effect at the beginning of next year. Governor Kemp recently signed HB 481, the Living Infants Fairness and Equality Act, otherwise known as LIFE, which prohibits abortions once a heartbeat is detected, as early as 6 weeks. Now, there are exceptions if the mother's life is in danger for incest or rape. Well, Pacific Justice Institute applauds the state of Georgia for doing the right thing, valuing life and standing up for the most defenseless, the unborn. Common sense tells us a heartbeat equals life. Please pray that other states value life and do the right thing. Visit pji.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
John Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On January 19, 1989, President Ronald Reagan bid farewell to Americans in his last address as president.
I've spoken of a shining city all my political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds, living in harmony and peace. A city with free ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get here. That's how I saw it. And see it still.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Strangers who donated to a woman raising five siblings makes today's Dean's List. Sam Rodriguez is the oldest of her brothers and sisters, ranging in age from 5 to 17. Since both of their parents died recently, she has taken charge of their family in Orange County, Florida. The siblings made headlines after their local police department published a video of themselves presenting Sam with a new car. The kid's story was shared thousands of times, and it has resulted in thousands of readers donating to a GoFundMe campaign for the family. The page has raised thousands of dollars.
You don't know how much this means to us, and it's such a big help, really. Like, you know, doing everything on my own is very hard, but I'm so glad to have people like you guys in my life.
This is our car.
What?
So thank you guys. To the
we love you guys.
Thank you, Good Samaritans. It's people like you who make this world a better place. Janice Dean, Fox News.
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Popped up and playable. Gracious.
I don't know why we played that cut. It just is kind of odd. I'm going to have to get somebody in trouble. Wait a second. Now I know the reason. David Cohn has finally got his book out. It's about his life in baseball and before baseball and after baseball. It's called Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. The biggest question is, did Jack Curry name the book or did David Cohn make the book? Because Jack Curry, the same guy we watch on Yes every single day, one of the most successful regional sports networks in the country, wrote it with David. So answer the toughest question yet. Who named the book?
Mutual decision, and I have to throw our agent, literary agent David Black, in the mix, and our editor, Sean Desmond. To be 100% honest with you, Sean loved Full Count. David Black loved The Education of a Pitcher. David and I liked both of them, and
right.
that's what we rolled with. I will say this. I did flirt with the idea of Magician on the Mound. I like the alliteration, but I was overruled, Brian. You know how that goes.
Really? I don't know how anyone overrules a man of your stature, Jack. I find that personally insulting, even though I should not be personally insulted. David, I knew a lot about your career, not nearly as much as I thought I did. And I guess, was it Jack's goal to interview you to the point where you got out the stories that maybe America needed? That's your idea to get the judgment, right?
Yes, I give Jack a lot of credit here. He approached me with the original idea. Let's do this together. And Jack and I have known each other for so long. And we're kind of, I kind of describe us as pitching nerds, you know, because we talk on a different level. He asks questions, and he's got a real curiosity about the intricacies of pitching. So I knew I had a trust factor with Jack. I knew it would go well.
So we're doing the series on youth sports just because with it, the elective Tommy John surgery for the 12-year-old, the female soccer player that blows at her ACL because by 11th grade she's played so much soccer in one sport. This is happening like an epidemic. So I'm fascinated by how it all started for you. Older brothers, your dad was the one who really pushed your dad to push you almost.
Yeah, it really was true. Man, my dad was a blue-collar guy. He worked a graveyard shift in a meat packing plant. He was dog-dead tired almost every day, but I was pulling on him and tugging on him and said, let's go, and he was always there. He's, like, out in the backyard. I had the equipment I needed. He'd kneel behind home plate, catch all my pitches, and back when I was wild, too, I was throwing balls in the dirt. I'd hit him in the neck on the bounce, and he would take it, throw it back to me. He's a salt-of-the-earth guy.
But he's a little bit of a hothead, Jack, did you find out, right? You called him he's into corporal punishment as an Irish Catholic.
Absolutely, he was. And, you know, there were a couple of practices where he kicked me out of practice in front of all the kids. He was like, that's it. Go home
what,
now.
Would you not listen to him?
I would throw a tantrum. You know, I would. I would think I didn't do anything wrong. You know, sometimes when you're in a tough environment and when you don't do something wrong and you get blamed for it, that's when you snap and you kind of lose your head a little bit. And so, yeah, I would throw a little temper tantrum and Dad would kick me out of practice.
You're hard on yourself through this book. And, Jack, this is a theme, isn't it? Because David had a problem after getting the incredible break of not playing high school baseball but impressing at least one Kansas City scout. And then he gets drafted. And then he has pitching coaches, and after some frustration with some knee injuries, he feels as though he doesn't have to take every pitching coach like it's the gospel, let's say.
I think that's one of the lessons in this book, and there might be coaches out there who disagree with me, but the fact that David pushed for what he felt was right, it didn't mean he didn't embrace coaching. Some coaching he agreed with, but some coaches who tried to change him, he fought back, and as someone who's a writer, I can understand that. I fight back against editors. I think it should be this way. So I think that's part of David's entire career, his creativity, his talent, but his competitiveness and his push to be who he felt he should be on the mound.
And your dad got that through to you. How? Have an idea before you take the mound what your plan is. And you didn't set it 9 years old. You didn't get it. But you began to get it as you got older.
I did, and then I realized that he was my first and best pitching coach I ever had, because the concept of less is more really started to resonate the older I got, especially towards the back end of my career when I started to create pitches and take something off and learn the finesse game a little better, and then I understood what he was talking about, the long game.
So you end up breaking through and getting drafted, but you always said to you were very honest with yourself, you go, I don't feel my hands are as big as most pitchers' hands, right? You don't feel as you're not going to be 6'5", you know, the size of David Wells. So you had to make adjustments. So if someone wants a big leg kick, if someone wants you to not do the sidearm, that's not going to make sense to you, because in your head, you knew you had to compensate somehow.
Absolutely. And, you know, I used every part of my body. I mean, I wrapped my wrist. I had a real wristy action. I used unusual grips to compensate for not being able to maneuver the ball in the grips the way more normal pitchers would. So, yeah, I really did buy into that, and it was ingrained into me. And then when I had pitching coaches in the minor leagues that tried to change me and tell me, you can't do it that way, it blew me away, and I became more of a rebel in fighting back. I think that's probably why the Royals traded me to the Mets, was because of that, you know, that personality that I had.
Right, because you had Brett Saberhagen, Mark Gubiza. They came up. Those are your peers. Those are the guys you came in together. You hurt your knee, and they get ahead of you, right? And maybe you had some growing up to do. I'm not sure. But one of the people to always talk about the trade that gives Ed Hearn to the Mets, and the Mets get, Ed Hearn leaves the Mets, and he goes to the Royals, and the Mets get, after winning a World Series, David Cohn. What did they actually get at that point, Jack?
They get a young kid who's hungry, but a young kid who's also a little fearful. The Royals, the day before they traded him, had told him he was going to be in their starting rotation. His dreams come true. A day later, he's traded. He's never been to New York. As you said, they just won a World Series. He's worried about getting sent to the minor leagues, but he makes an impression. He absolutely blossoms in 88 and wins 20 games. And I think they got, in a Kansas City kid, a guy who was absolutely built for New York.
Right.
He says those Mets teams were rowdy, they were crazy, they had swagger, and I did all I could to try and catch up and be one of them.
So did you notice him as a reporter back then?
I did. I started covering baseball in 90, so I didn't see David's first couple of years with the Mets, but you couldn't help but notice David. That's part of the reason, Brian, that I wanted to write the book, is because I always felt when he was on the mound, the wheels were spinning. Unlike any other pitcher I've ever seen, I felt like he was thinking 2, 3, 4 pitches ahead. And then, as he's talked about, with the different arm angles and the different grips, David treated pitching like a science.
Right. Early on, you were a reliever, right?
I was. Yeah, I was going to be the heir apparent to Dan Quisenberry, the late, great Dan Quisenberry.
Right, who was a mentor of yours because he noticed you were a bit of a wild man, and he said, you better rein it in, pal. You're not going to stay in here.
He did, yeah.
So you go to the Mets. They have Sid Fernandez. They have Dal Strawberry. They have Keith Hernandez. They have Gary Carter, the religious guy. They have Howard Johnson, and they got Mookie Wilson, and they're a championship team, and they're tight. You say they go out. 15 of these guys go. Well, you guys go out, like, every night, and closing time didn't matter. You just went right through it. And a lot of times you end up looking over and seeing 6 foot, 6 inch Dal Strawberry fighting. This is crazy times.
It was wild. As Jack said, I did my best to fit in. In fact, on the first plane flight as a Met, I jumped on the plane and I thought I would do something funny, so I grabbed the safety cards, the plastic cards that are in your seat back, and I put it on the ground and I surfed up the aisle the minute we landed. And if you time it just right, I went zooming by these guys. There's Keith Hernandez on my right. I made it halfway up the aisle on this little plastic pad, and guys looked around at me and, he's one of us.
Oh, yeah. So, unfortunately, yes.
Brian, the book was 98% done when I was provided with that gem of an anecdote. And I said, hold on a second. We have got to find a spot for this gem.
I got news
for
you. It's been taken from Ron Darling's book. So I remember this in particular.
Oh, Darling had that in his
book? Darling writes in this. He was just here, and with the controversial book, I found it interesting, but his teammates didn't. And sadly, he's dealing with something right now, physical, and he's a good friend of yours.
Yes.
But Ron Darling says, he looked at David Cone, look how good he is. How do we get this guy? And then all of a sudden, we see him take this card, he hop on, he goes, now I know why he got this guy.
Yes.
I thought that was the funniest line.
Can't understand why the Royals traded me.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So you got reined in, and the older guys are very tough on you. You blew a game, and you were playing poker. And Bobby Ojeda, respected pitcher originally from the Red Sox, looks over at you, and you did something like a wise ass, and he said, you better get your act together. I'll just paraphrase. You better get back to you. You're costing me money because you blew a game, right?
Yeah, you suck tonight, he said. And then some other things beyond that. And I was blown away. I mean, I was a rookie, and you're always seeking approval. You want to fit in. And he just undressed me and let me know, hey, you know what? You're not going to make it up here if you don't, if you're not reliable and we can't trust you and you don't do your job or you're ready to do your job. It was tough love. I was used to that growing up, obviously, but I definitely was unnerved by that a bit.
All right, Jack, I want you to describe this situation because he's brutal on himself. One time, I think the year was with the New York Mets when he held onto the ball, argued, and two players scored.
Charlie Williams was the umpire. We go back to Atlanta. I was covering that game. And right, David thought that he had grazed the bag. I think Greg Jeffries was the second baseman who threw it to you. And it really did look like they didn't have replay back then, Brian, but it really did look like he had grazed the bag. But instead of maintaining the field of thought of what's going on in the field, he argued with Charlie Williams, the first base umpire, two-run score. The Mets lose that game, and I remember him in the clubhouse afterwards, and he was morose.
But he owned up to it. This is the thing that's so great about you. You make a mistake, and you're your hardest critic. Listen to how it sounded.
Breaking ball, grounder. Marshall lets Jeffries get it. Toss to Cone. He tags the bag. And they say safe. Watch the runner. He's not watching the runner. The runner scores. And Cone's still arguing. Here comes the second runner. The second runner scores. I don't believe I just saw that. I don't believe it.
194 wins, a Cy Young, and five World Series titles, but this really bothers you.
Still, to this day, I mean, how could it not? It was utterly humiliating to have that happen to you on the field. And then, the worst part was I was arguing with Charlie Williams, and he was just looking at me, and he got a little smile on his face, and he said, while you're arguing with me, the second run just scored. And I just put my head down, daubered down, walked back to the mound, and just utter humiliation.
Well, you've had other high moments. So you get traded from the Mets for a guy, I don't know, the big second baseman, the tall guy, who is?
Jeff Kent.
Yeah, he hated me. I don't know what I did to that guy, but I could not get a civil word out of him. I think he hated everybody, didn't he?
It was a tough interview. Yes.
That's what I said. It's okay. He signed his book. But I don't know. If he gets traded, they send you to Toronto. And you do quite well over there.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was a little stunned. It was after the trade deadline, the end of August. I cleared waivers. Entire rosters got through waivers that year. A little bit of pseudo-collusion going on among the owners. So it happened. I'm in Toronto. I'm the hired gun. And I felt the weight of Canada on my shoulders. They really needed somebody to help them get over the hump. And, you know, I took it as a challenge because I was going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and I knew this was the stage. If you come through on this stage, then you prove your worth, and then you can go out on the free agent market and get some bids.
And in 1992, you win the World Series. Here's how it sounded. Cut 52.
With a tying run at third and two down in the bottom of the 11th, 4-3 Blue Jays. John Smoltz, the pinch runner at third. Kimlin. Nixon punts. Kimlin on it. Throws to first. For the first time in history, the World Championship banner will fly north of the border. The Toronto Blue Jays are baseball's best in 1992.
4-3-11. Country celebrates, right, David?
First. Canada's first. It was incredible. I mean, in the middle of that series in Atlanta, the Braves had a national anthem, and they flew the Canadian flag upside down. It was an outcry in Canada. They're disrespecting us. It's a conspiracy. They don't want the World Series in Canada. It's the American sport. I mean, that's the thought process of some of the Blue Jays fans back then, so that when we won, boy, that ticker tape parade was incredible.
Right. You seem to always either be winning games or partying. The name of the book is Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher. When we come back, we're going to look at the Yankee years and David's relationship with George Steinbrenner. He is the Donald Trump of baseball. Back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
Texting and rules for recurring automated marketing text messages. Message and data rates may apply. Texting privacy rules and terms and conditions at textrules.us.
Has dinner got you down? Sick of awful frozen meals or unhealthy fast food? Don't despair, because Martha Stewart is doing a free taste test, giving away three full-size meals from her new meal kit delivery service, Martha and Marley Spoon. All fresh ingredients with Martha's delicious and easy recipes. You're eating in just 30 minutes. To be part of Martha's at-home taste test and get three free meals, be one of the first 100 people to text the word HANDY to 246810. It's so easy. Text us now. Martha and Marley Spoon.